प्रहर्षेण प्राणं धन्वा इवागतम् अभिसङ्गं यविधिवत् हरिस्वङ्गाद् विवादनाय With great delight, they all approached him, as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances, welcomed each other with embraces. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the absence of consciousness, the limbs of the body remain inactive. But when consciousness returns, the limbs and senses become active, and existence itself becomes delightful. Vidura was so dear to the members of the Kauraba family that his long absence from the palace was comparable to inactivity. All of them were feeling acute separation from Vidura, and therefore his return to the palace was joyful for all. We are reading from the 13th chapter of Canto 1 from Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. In this particular verse, number 5, Vidura is just returning to Hastinapur after many years of being away. And those who were survivors of the great war of Kurukshetra were gathered together to greet him. The love and affection in which they are welcoming Vidura is being explained briefly in these verses. Vidura is a great Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada would often call him Mahatma Vidura. Association with such a great Vaishnava is so sacred and dear. Maharaj Yudhisthira himself declared Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayambhu, that all the holy places of pilgrimage are present wherever there's such a devotee of Vidura, as Vidura. To associate with a great devotee is factually more purifying than going to all holy places and bathing in all holy sites. There is no greater fortune than the satsang of those who have sincerely surrendered their lives at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. And similarly, Ramananda Rai, in his conversation with Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, declared there is no greater suffering in all of creation than to be separated from the Lord's dear devotees. The Pandavas, although they had direct relationship with Lord Krishna, Arjuna was often considered Krishna's best of friends. He accepted the role of his charioteer during the battle. Krishna engaged in many menial services for Yudhisthira and the Pandavas. Even though Pandavas, in such an exalted position,
directly in relationship to Krishna. Still, they're feeling such deep respect and separation from Vidura. To understand how to actually live the life of a real devotee, it is essential that we study the lives of the great souls and follow in their footsteps. We cannot imitate the great souls. If we do, we will be pretenders, and that will be an offense. However, to study, analyze, and imbibe the principles that they live by in their words and their actions is the path back home, back to Godhead. Mahajano yeda kathasa bandha. One must follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans, and especially according to Srimad Bhagavat, there are 12 original Mahajans. Of them, one is Yamaraj. And it was Yamaraj who appeared on this earth as Vidura. Let us analyze this. Yamaraj has big post in the administration of the universe. For those of you who are administrators, you should take very careful attention to this story. Yamaraj is so great, and his Yamadutas are so faithful and loyal to him. In fact, in the sixth canto we find that they consider him the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who could stand before Yamaraj in this universe? He has total authority. In Yamaloka, he is the unrivaled king. And he has total authority given by Lord Krishna over taking care of all the karma, sinful karma, of all living beings on the earth. The hellish planets are all just places that Yamaraj supervises according to a person's misdeeds. So not only is he the lord of Yamaloka, but all the hellish planets are under his supervision. And the earth planet is totally under his jurisdiction for those who are sinful. But he himself is a very, very great devotee with a very difficult task to perform. Because we read that a devotee's nature is paradukha-dukhi. He doesn't care about his own sufferings. A devotee is concerned with the sufferings of others. We read Thakur Haridas. He didn't care he was being beaten through 22 marketplaces. He was weeping and crying because the people who were beating him may be committing some aparad and would have to suffer. And if he's the cause of their aparad, that's very bad. He was praying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Krishna that please don't consider that this is any type of offense what they're doing. Give them bhakti. This is Vaishnava. Selfless, not concerned with what comes in his life, but concerned with how he could serve others. And if it means enduring suffering to help another be free of suffering, he's enthusiastic to give his life to do so. So Yamaraj is such a paradukha-dukhi Vaishnava. But yet his service to Krishna is to torture people. Of course, he understands as a Mahajan that actually this torturing is a service to the person. because it's ultimately preaching to them to surrender to Krishna and to give up sense gratification. Of course, we cannot preach like this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us very nice preaching process, prasad distribution, harikatha, harikirtan. But his preaching is to make people drink boiling oils, embrace red hot iron forms of men or women, being dragged up and down thorn trees and torn to pieces. So many things like this. But it's a service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how the sufferings of material life are very inconceivable. And normally a person will ask, if God is good, why does he create so much suffering? Why doesn't he just make it easy to go back home, back to Godhead? Why even a devotee who wants to go back to God, it has to go through so many perils, trials, tribulations, anxieties, and physical, mental sufferings. Why? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, we cannot understand why Krishna does what he does. But we do understand with faith that whatever he does is perfect. Because Krishna is the embodiment and reservoir of all love. He knows the perfect way of showing supreme love to every living entity according to their position. We are conditioned souls. We are infinitesimal jivatmas in a contaminated state of consciousness. Our conception of love is not it's not love. It's actually simply material sentiment. Therefore, when we understand the science of Krishna Tattva, the principle of Krishna's glory, then we have faith that he knows exactly the best way to express mercy to everyone. And according to a particular person's activities, desires in this material world, Krishna gives that person just what he needs or she needs. Through the agency of the three modes of material nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti sugyate sacharacharam. But they're working under his direction. So Yamaraj, he has faith that whatever I'm doing to these people is actually the best thing for them. They deserve it, but there's ultimately a purpose to teach them a good lesson. They may understand or not understand. Most of them don't. But still, in due course of time, people will take the words of Krishna seriously, and I will help them. Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada tells a story that there was some thieves who performed a serious robbery. The police constables were chasing after them. So they came to the ashram of Manduka Muni, thinking the police will not come to this great sage's ashram. But the police came. And they found the things that were stolen in the ashram. And they found the thieves hiding there. So they arrested them all, along with Manduka Muni. They were all sentenced by the magistrate to die by being pierced by lance. So all the thieves were pierced to death right before the eyes of Manduka Muni. And then it was his turn. Very terrible situation. He was completely innocent. He was just doing his bhajan. But the king understood what was happening. So the king personally gave pardon He took away all the punishment and fell at the feet of Manduka Muni begging forgiveness. I have committed great offense. Because ultimately what the leader is responsible for all the persons subordinate. It is said a king or a president or a prime minister, one who leads a nation, one-fifth of the good or bad karma comes on that person's head. Because when you take a position of leadership, you have to take responsibility. And whether you accept it or not, the responsibility is on you. So Manduka Muni, he thought this was very unfair. What did I do to deserve such humiliation and pain? So by his powers, he approached Yamaraj. And Yamaraj told him that when you were a small child, you pierced an ant with a piece of straw. And therefore, you had to be pierced also. Manduka Muni said, Yamaraj, you are nonsense. A small child cannot be held responsible like that. Just with such a severe degree of reaction. I curse you. I curse you to become a Shudra.
Hare Krishna.
So Yamaraj, living in the great palace of Yamaloka, king, department head, he had to leave everything and become a Shudra, kept son of a kept mistress. He was kicked out, but he was happy. Why was he happy? Because he understood very clearly in the core of his heart that this is the will of Krishna. He was not simply thinking this is the will of Manduka Muni, because not a blade of grass can move without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for a devotee of the Lord, such a devotee is under the supervision of Krishna's internal energy. So he accepted it as Krishna's mercy. Meanwhile, in Hastinapur, Bhishma, he made his vow that he would never marry and never have children, and he would never become the king, although he was the most qualified. And there was no king. The Kuru dynasty was on the verge of extinction. So Satyavati, who was the queen without a husband, her and Bhishma were wondering, it is our responsibility to make sure the Kuruk dynasty continues. So because Vedavyas, who lived in Badrigashram in Himalayas, was son of Satyavati, therefore he was actually a Kuru, although he was the greatest of Brahmins, because son of Parasara Muni. So they called him, and the three queens, or princesses, Amba, Ambika, Ambalika, they were asked to have children with Ambika and Ambalika, to have children with Vedavyas. So the first one, Ambalika, she closed her eyes because she was fearful of such a sage, and his appearance was not so easily understood by material vision. So Vedavyas came out and told Satyavati and Bhishma, the child will be blind because she closed her eyes. Then Ambika was asked. Vedavyas went in. He came out, said, because she became pale due to not being able to appreciate me, her son will become very pale and sickly.
Satyavati said, you go in again, Ambika, but don't become pale.
Ambika secretly went to her maidservant, her favorite intimate friend and maidservant, and put all her clothes on her, jewels and cloths, and said, you go on in my behalf. And the maidservant washed Vedavyasa's feet and offered him nice cloth and nice food and prayers, bowed down to him. Vedavyasa came out and said, this person will be highly intellectual, great Paramahamsa Vaishnava. He will be full of all good qualities. He will be fearless. He will be the embodiment of virtue. Everyone was so happy to hear all these things. But he cannot ever become king because he's the son of a Sudrani. This was Vidura. Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura. Vidura was like the chief minister. He was so wise and so devoted. Really an ocean of compassion. How he loved Krishna and how he loved Krishna's devotees is truly the glory of Vidura. When Pandu died untimely, it was Vidura that so caringly tried to make sure for all the comforts of both Kunti and her children. He was so wise. When Dhritarashtra gave birth, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra's wife, gave birth to Duryodhana, Vidura saw bad omens in the sky. And he looked at this child and he was so wise. He said, this little infant, he looks very nice as an infant, but he will be the destruction of your dynasty. He has a wicked, cruel, envious heart. Dhritarashtra, my dear brother, at this very moment, discard this child. Discard this infant. Either you get rid of it, or he will get rid of your whole dynasty. That wisdom. He could see Duryodhana's envy seconds after his birth. But Dhritarashtra was attached. And sure enough, we know the story from Mahabharata as well as Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhritarashtra took the throne after Pandu left, and Duryodhana was obsessed that he would rule the entire kingdom. They fed poison to Bhishma. And they invited the Pandavas to that house of lack. But Vidura knew their plan. It was Vidura who was the ever-watchful, loving caretaker of the Pandavas from their childhood throughout their lives. He's the one who told Yudhisthira that they're going to try to burn you and your brothers and your mother alive. It was Vidura that not only sent them the message, told them exactly when this cruel act would take place, but he also had one of his assistants named Kanaka, who dug a tunnel all the way from the Ganga to the house, secretly. Now when the time came, they sent message. He saved the Pandava's life. When the news came to Hastinapur that the Pandavas, the Kunti and her children were dead, burned alive, Bhishma was genuinely weeping in grief. And Dhritarashtra, Dushasana, Duryodhana and the others, they were pretending to be in grief, but actually in their hearts they were, it was the happiest day of their lives. Pandavas are gone forever, no more disturbance. No threat. But they were good politicians. In order to get the sympathy of the people, they appeared to be very sad, spoke nice things about them. But Vidura, seeing Bhishma's grief, took him aside and secretly told him that they're saved. They're all right, there's no problem. Then the Pandavas, they married Draupadi. And it was actually Vidura, along with Bhishma, who convinced Dhritarashtra that you have to bring them back and you have to give them at least a share of the kingdom. It was due to Vidura's influence that somehow or other Dhritarashtra actually did it. And then Yudhisthira Maharaj performed this incredible Rajasuya Yajna. Everyone was so proud of them, but Duryodhana was burning with envy. It was at that time that he challenged Yudhisthira to a tournament of throwing dice, gambling. Now we know that gambling is against the regulative principles, and we can understand why from this story. But for a great Kshatriya king, it was their code of honor that they could not deny a challenge from another. That's their regulative principle. As sadhana bhaktas, we have our regulative principles, but Kshatriyas also have their regulative principles. Vidura understood the key. He understood exactly what was going to happen. And he told Duryodhana that this is a wicked, dastardly deed. You must stop this cruelty. You're wicked-hearted people. Give up your mentality of envy. But they would not take his advice. He pleaded with Dhritarashtra to stop this guy dice match. But even Dhritarashtra could not control his son. And when Draupadi was bet and lost, when Dushasana grabbed her by the hair, there was no one more devastated than Vidura. There was nothing he could do within his powers to stop it. He simply wept bitter tears to see this injustice to Krishna's devotees. The Pandavas were exiled 12 years. During that time, Vidura, who was the brother and best friend of Dhritarashtra, was continuously advising him to bring the Pandavas back, to apologize and to give them their share of the kingdom. He was preaching Krishna consciousness as well. He was continually telling Dhritarashtra, Krishna is the absolute truth. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. He's the controller of all controllers. He's not partial to anyone. But because the Pandavas are good, virtuous people who have surrendered to him, he will protect them under all circumstances. Don't cause them harm. But Dhritarashtra, due to his attachment to an evil person, became evil. What you associate with, you become like that. That is an undeniable truth within this material world. Kaikeyi, she was one of the favorite wives of Dasarath. And you have to be a good person to be a favorite wife of someone of the magnanimity of Dasarath Maharaj. And she loved Ram so dearly, and Ram loved her like his mother. She was really a good person. A loving, motherly, gentle queen with all good qualities. But somehow or other, she fell under the influence of the association of this Mantara. And due to that association, Kaikeyi became, her heart became frozen like ice and hard as stone. She was cruel, envious, violent. She banished her own child, Ram, to the forest for 14 years, along with Sita and Lakshman. Sita didn't know how she was supposed to dress in the forest. Kaikeyi gave her tree bark, and said, "You wear this." Everyone was crying, weeping to see this. And when Dasara died, her own beloved husband, it didn't even faze her. And when she saw she was the devastation of millions of people's lives, the whole Ayodhya was plunged into grief, she didn't care. Just see what one selfish person can do due to the influence of that association. Dhritarashtra, he was being told continuously by Vidura, "Reject your son. You are the king, you must represent Dharma. You are protecting Adharma. Reject him. Do not take his advice. Bring the Pandavas back. They are great souls." At one time, he was telling Dhritarashtra, in the presence of Duryodhana, that your son is offense personified. Get rid of him or you will be destroyed with everyone else. Duryodhana was so enraged. He was about to kill his own uncle, Vidura. He insulted him by calling him the son of a kept mistress and told him, "Either I'll allow you to leave the kingdom with one possession, your breath. Get out." And Dhritarashtra, after a lifetime of Vidura being his best friend, his well-wisher, his dearest brother, Dhritarashtra did not object. He just silently watched as Duryodhana threw Vidura out of his kingdom. But Yamaraj was already thrown out of one kingdom, and he took it as Krishna's mercy. So here he was very happy. He was sad for Duryodhana. He was heartbroken for Dhritarashtra. But he was happy because he understood this is Krishna's arrangement. This is Mahatma. Please, don't try to compare yourself to him, but see how you would react under this situation. He was a grihastha. He had a wife. He had children. There's a story that took place before this. Very important story. The Pandavas were in exile. They were away, or not exactly at that time, but the Pandavas wanted only 5 villages. And they sent Krishna as the peace messenger. So Vidura was always telling Dhritarashtra that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. If he's on the side of the Pandavas, nothing can defeat them. So Dhritarashtra said to everyone that we have to get Krishna on our side. We should give him such a grand welcome when he comes to Hastinapur. We should give him the best house, Dushasana's house, more opulent than anyone else. We should cook such a feast for him. We should decorate the roads. We should give him cows and gold and silver and jewels. We should have royal reception. He was saying this right in the court. And Vidura, in front of everyone else, he said to Dhritarashtra, "You're nonsense. You think Krishna's going to fall for your artificial means of trying to utilize him for your envious purposes? This is crazy. Krishna doesn't care for your wealth. He doesn't care for your good food. He doesn't care for your royal reception. He only wants one thing of you, that what he asks, you're willing to do it. That is love, not just a superficial show of so-called love." Prabhupada said this. Real love for the spiritual master is not just saying jai, jai, jai. Real love for the spiritual master is following his instructions, executing what he asks us to do. To chant 16 rounds, to follow the four regulative principles, to be united in a spirit of preaching Krishna consciousness. That is love. So, Vidura chastised him. He said, "This is all just a show. And Krishna will be more angry with you, although he's never angry. Still, he'll respond in such a way because he'll see. He knows your heart. He's in your heart." So when Krishna came, he came to Dhritarashtra's court. And Duryodhana came down off his very high, beautiful throne to greet Krishna. He actually greeted him with such gentle, cordial feelings. Apparently, he was praising him, respecting him with so many nice gifts, sat him on a beautiful throne, and said, "We have arranged for your convenience to stay at the house of Dushasana. It's better than my own house. It's the best house in Hastinapur. And we have prepared a luxurious feast for you." Krishna looked at Duryodhana and said, "I will not touch a morsel of your food, and I will not step foot in that house." Duryodhana became angry. He said, "This is not the way for a guest to behave. Even if we have differences of opinion, you're a guest, and we're giving you hospitality. You should accept it." Krishna said, "One should never take food from anyone unless there's a loving relationship that you have with that person. And because you are envious of the Pandavas are virtuous men, they are my devotees. As you treat my devotees, you treat me. If you are cruel to the Pandavas, you are cruel to me. If you hate the Pandavas, you hate me. If you're envious of them, you're envious of me. I will not take a morsel of food from you. I will stay in the house of Vidura, and I will eat his food, because he's a devotee." Then Krishna walked out and went right to Vidura's house. Vidura's wife prepared nice prasad, whatever they had for Krishna. The best of everything they could give. Krishna was completely satisfied. Vidura brought Krishna to see Kunti Devi. And the three of them were simply talking about their love for the Pandavas. Vidura told Krishna that tomorrow there's this meeting where you're going to give your message. Do not go, please. I beg you, do not go. Because they have plans to arrest you. They definitely will not listen to what you say. They'll blaspheme you. You should not go. It breaks my heart to think of you being subjected to that. Krishna told Vidura, that I'm going to go because I'm Duryodhana's friend.
Hare Krishna.
And because I'm his friend, I have to tell him the right thing to do. And the world should know that the Pandavas were not responsible for this war. The world should know that I did everything I could on this worldly level to stop the war from happening. Therefore, I must go. Vidura cried. Krishna and he boarded a chariot together and went to the palace. Such a dialogue that took place there. Krishna glorified the Pandavas, condemned the envious behavior of the Kurus, and appealed, just give them 5 villages. That's all Yudhisthira is asking for. I have come as Yudhisthira's messenger. 5 villages. And that is the time that Duryodhana said he would not give them the space of land you can stick the head of a needle through. I will give them nothing. I will never share my kingdom with them. Never. Then Duryodhana ordered Krishna to be arrested. The soldiers were ready. And Krishna manifested his universal form. Effulgent like millions of suns. Then he withdrew that opulence and left. And even after seeing the universal form of Krishna, Duryodhana's heart was still wicked. That is the nature of material attachment. That is the nature of attachment to prestige, position, power, and control. Even when God Himself shows His universal form to you and tells you what to do, you can't hear it. So to get back to where we were, Duryodhana kicked Vidura out of the kingdom. Although Vidura was actually his only real friend. Vidura left and accepted this as an opportunity to go on a yatra. He had children, he had wife, he had home. He was kicked out of everything for no fault of his own. Just due to the envy and spite of an evil person. But he didn't retaliate. He just accepted this as a mercy of Krishna and happily went on pilgrimage, constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. He met with Uddhava. And there, Uddhava shared his most intimate remembrances of Lord Krishna with him. Vidura was so humble. He begged Uddhava to speak to him the science of the highest truth. And although Uddhava was dearest personal associate of Krishna in all of Dwarka, when Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, at that time they were living in Mathura. After that they moved to Dwarka. This incident is taking place after Krishna had left the world. So we can understand that Uddhava was Krishna's very, very, very intimate, close associate for well over 100 years. And Krishna spoke the Uddhava Gita to him, the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
the most treasured transcendental truths. Buddha was on the highest platform. But yet when he saw gopis, he was thinking, let me be a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so that gopis may step on my head, and then I will get the dust of their feet without embarrassing them. And Krishna told Uddhava that I sent you to Vrindavan because of my love for you. I wanted you to see firsthand what is the purest love of the purest devotees. So Uddhava, he was so deeply knowledgeable and realized by the grace of Krishna. But yet, after expressing his loving sentiments of separation for Krishna, he told Vidura that you should go to Maitreya Rishi because he is senior to me. And Prabhupada in purport in this regard explains the importance of Vaishnava etiquette. Certainly Maitreya was no more learned or realized or advanced than Uddhava, but because he was senior to him, and because Maitreya also received teachings from Krishna, Uddhava felt it is appropriate that you go to him. So Vidura went to Maitreya Rishi. And such a sensational, transcendental lesson. Here we have two paramhamsas coming together. But they weren't competing to show who knows more slokas than the other, or who has higher realizations, or who has more disciples, or anything like that. Rather, Vidura, because Maitreya was senior to him, Vidura took the position of a perfect disciple to a perfect spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada explains, a perfect example of relationship between guru and disciple is Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. Vidura is falling at the feet of Maitreya Rishi with tears in his eyes, saying, I don't know anything, I'm ignorant, I'm a fool, please instruct me. And he means it. It's not a show. This is a Vaishnava. Krishna lived in his house. Krishna ate his food. Krishna embraced him. Krishna sat with him. Krishna talked intimately with him. How many of us have Krishna done that with recently? And yet he's accepting the position of an ignorant disciple. He was asking so many questions. And through the treasure of that guru-disciple relationship between Maitreya and Uddhava, some of the greatest historical epics of our Vaishnava history was revealed. The whole life of Kapila Muni and Devahuti, and the entire Sankhya philosophy spoken by Kapila Muni was revealed by Maitreya to Vidura. The story of Lord Varaha, Hiranyaksha, and so many other very, very essential narrations were revealed through that relationship. Vidura systematically was inquiring to higher and higher subject matters from Maitreya Rishi, and ultimately understood the supreme position of Krishna and the supreme position of bhakti. He already knew it, but yet he actually felt that he was learning it. This is the nectar of Vaishnava association. Because Vaishnavas are humble. And that humility in relationship to Vaishnavas is what actually reveals Krishna. So after hearing from Maitreya and traveling to many holy places, Vidura learned about what happened in Kurukshetra. Duryodhana, and all of his 99 brothers were killed by Bhima, according to Bhima's vow. He tasted the blood from each of their bodies. Everything finished. Millions of people. Only the Pandavas and a few others survived. Vidura was a totally self-realized Paramhamsa. Here he's returning to Hastinapur on a mission to deliver Dhritarashtra. What kind of friend is he? Never gave up on his brother. Dhritarashtra sat there, and by his not revolting against Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra was responsible for offending Vidura, blaspheming Vidura, and kicking him out of his home, kicking him away from his family, taking away everything he had, and banishing him. That's what Dhritarashtra did to Vidura. And yet Vidura came back when Dhritarashtra was suffering the most to be a real friend. Duryodhana, all the sons of Dhritarashtra were killed. The person that he was responsible for persecuting and torturing, blaspheming, and trying to murder again and again, Yudhisthira was now king. And Dhritarashtra was living in his house. Yudhisthira is a Vaishnava. He totally, not only did he forgive Dhritarashtra, but he begged forgiveness from him for killing his son. He begged forgiveness for inconvenience, and gave him all the opulences, all the royalty, all the pleasures of the kingdom. Was personally serving him. That is Vaishnava. Vidura came back to preach to him. But what nonsense. You're old, you're about to die. What is the purpose of life? And in the future verses that you will be reading here at Sri Radharas Bihari Temple, the most sacred teachings of Vidura to Dhritarashtra will be revealed. But in order to really appreciate his teaching, it is very helpful to really appreciate who is Vidura. What is his devotion? What kind of Vaishnava is he? So forgiving. So self-controlled, so full of mercy and compassion. Because the devotee's life and soul is not to even consider his or her own egoistic, selfish desires. The devotee's life and soul is to simply please Krishna, assist Krishna, help Krishna in his work in this world. Vidura was willing to accept banishment if that would help Krishna's mission. He came back and spoke to Dhritarashtra with a heart overflowing with love, affection, sympathy, and compassion. Although he never got that from his brother. Dhritarashtra caused so much torturing to Yudhisthira. And who's Yudhisthira? The son of Yamaraj. And who's Vidura? Yamaraj. On one level, Yudhisthira is like his son. On another level, he's more than his son because he's his nephew. Not only did he torture him, but he tortured those who were most dear to him. but still forgiving. A Vaishnava forgives, but the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava, it is said, does not forgive. If you offend a Vaishnava, a real Vaishnava will forgive you, whatever you've done. But the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava will not forgive. And as long as the dust of the feet don't forgive, Krishna doesn't forgive. But if somehow or other we collect that dust and put it on our head with all humility, then Krishna will forgive us. Anyway, I'm sorry for going over time. I think we should end now. Is there any comments anyone would like to make, or any questions? Yes, Maharaji. No, they can. But you have to surrender first. No, the acharyas have explained that if you offend a Vaishnava, like Vidura, he will forgive. Haridas Thakur forgave. Even while they were beating him, he was simply forgiving. But Krishna did not forgive. Krishna will not forgive until you surrender to the dust of the feet of that Vaishnava and beg forgiveness. Therefore, in that sense, the Vaishnava forgives, but the dust doesn't forgive until you really repent. And when the dust forgives, then Krishna forgives. When you take that dust. Yes, Devaki Nandan Prabhu.
Just like Vidura came after a long time, the Pandavas were very delighted. So we are very delighted to have him after a long time. I have a question.
No doubt you are like the Pandavas, but I am not like Vidura.
I have a question. This was about Mandu Pramani. When Yamaraj was doing his duty, you know, everybody had to suffer and enjoy out the karma. Now the Mandukya Muni is a great stage. He has done the same appearance, the insect. So I can confuse the other. What was Yamaraj found that was cut?
From Prabhupada's explanation of this story, he doesn't give fault to Yamaraj. But the perception of the fault was upon Manduka Muni. And he cursed him, because he really felt that there was a fault. And it appears that there is. But of course, from our position, we don't want to find faults with Mahajan. But we will not think that he's at fault. But Manduka Muni was a great sage. So we can understand from one point of view that this was the arrangement of Krishna. Krishna doesn't go to Yamaloka, to Yamaraja's house, and eat prasad and sit and talk with him. But he went to his house in Hastinapur. So Krishna wanted to give Yamaraj a wonderful opportunity to preach in this world by his good qualities. And at the same time, get personal association with Krishna. So in one sense, he gave him a holiday for some time. But it wasn't exactly a fun holiday. Devotees don't care about having fun holidays. Devotees' conception of holiday is how I could best serve Krishna. Every moment of our life, how could I best serve Krishna? Would you like that? All right? Thank you. So we will end here. Thank you for your wonderful reception. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.